here last week, I was hit by a Mack truck, like many that are experiencing that going around with just, not literally, I was sick at home in bed. Someone looked at me like, what? No, I meant that figuratively, flu or cold or something. So it's great to be back. You know, today's gospel, I don't know if that kind of took you aback, but it does me when I read that story, because here's how I experience it. It's kind of like these people just walked up to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, did you hear about those Galileans, you know, that they mingled the blood? And they're probably thinking, well, no, you know, let's talk about it. And Jesus goes, well, if you don't repent, you're going to die too. Did it hit you like that? I know it's Jesus. He's not supposed to hit you like that, but it's kind of what he did. It's kind of shocking. I think he meant that on purpose. This is a challenging text. Sometimes Jesus challenges. He both invites and he challenges. And both need to be part of our life as disciples if we're going to follow Christ and grow in him. So this challenge, unless you repent, you will perish. You can frame it as an invitation. You can say it like this instead. If you want to live, repent. If you want life, repent. Repent. Well, that's a word that we often use to talk about the beginning of our Christian journey. Talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. We're going to deep dive into it today. But it's a word we often use to talk about the beginning of our Christian journey, but really, it's a word that defines our whole journey in Jesus Christ. From the moment of our baptism till we see Jesus, in many ways, our whole life is a life of repentance. Over and over and over and over. And that is the way to life. It's the way to life because it's the way to Jesus. That's why it's the way to life. So what is repentance? I know I did talk about this 2 weeks ago, but I want to say it again. It's good to be reminded. It comes from this Greek word that, again, it's in its real wooden meaning, literally means to change your mind. But you don't really define words that way. You define them how they're used. And the way it's used in the Bible is more like this. It's as though you're going one way, away from Jesus. You realize that, you turn, and you start going towards Jesus again. That turning back to Jesus, that's repent. That picture paints what it is. And of course, a journey with Jesus begins with that. But our daily following of Jesus involves that as well. Repenting over and over and over. Now that can sound kind of disconcerting or sort of arresting, based on whether or not we have the right kind of picture of what this life is meant to be about. So I think one of the ways to get it a wrong way we can think about life is just watch every commercial that's on TV right now. You know, it's go to Target, buy the right things, the cool things, and you'll just be filled with bliss. And you'll connect to people, the right people. You know, the cool people. And you'll curate your life, and then you'll go, or you go to Lowe's and you'll buy the right things, and your house looks perfect, and everyone's standing in front of it, admiring it, and they're just full of joy and smiling. And all this life is about getting all the right things put in place so I can just kind of enjoy it, for it all to go well, kind of personal peace, affluence, not necessarily getting rich, but just things going well. And that's just sort of the air we breathe, isn't it? And then Jesus says, your whole life is about repenting. Well, if that's the story you're telling, that sounds really strange. But what if the Jesus story is a different story, and life is more like school? What if life is really more like school? So I remember when I started school, it was in the 60s, that's how old I am. And the first 5 years of my life, it was so great. Remember? Do you remember? You're just free. No homework. You don't have to learn your ABCs. That's all I had to learn in my kindergarten. ABCs and how to count to 10. You poor kids today. They make you learn so much. And then it was announced, I'm going to school. And I was the youngest, so part of me was like, well, cool, I get to be part of going to school. But then it really began to happen. And the first thing in my hometown is we all had to go to the health department and get our vaccinations. And back in the days of the big guns where they do them in your arm, you know? You younger people, you never had to do this. It's so good you weren't traumatized like us older people. And then I remember showing up for kindergarten at Lincoln Elementary School, and it was this big brick cube building built about 100 years ago. And I know it was a school, but it kind of looked like a prison. Right? Now, by the way, teachers, you're awesome people. I'm not dissing school. I actually learned to like school a lot. But there was always this sense of like, they're making me go to school again, right? Can't wait till 3:15 to get on that bus and go home. Can't wait till Friday when I can have the weekend. Summer vacation, you don't run out of the bus, you just run home, and it feels so good. But I remember what I was always told, and I could hear my mom saying, well, dear, we have to go to school because someday we grow up. And to live as an adult, you have to have schooling. You need to learn things. And of course, as you're going through school, you begin to experience that because you learn things and get better at things. But you have this sort of vision of the future, right? You'll get to be grown up, and you have to have all the schooling to be grown up. And because of that kind of end game, you realize, okay, I guess I have to go to school. Yeah, got to work on my penmanship. I didn't get it very well, but they made us work on it. You have to do my math, have to do my history, whatever. Well, if life is kind of like that, if life is more about preparing for when we grow up, preparing for when the kingdom comes in its fullness, then repenting makes sense. In fact, learning is a kind of repentance. You know, it's like you're just sort of tuning along knowing nothing about math, and your teacher goes, turn around, we're going to learn math now. That's a kind of repenting. And so this life in Jesus is a life of over and over turning away from what's not Jesus and turning to Jesus, so that over the course of a life, we're formed more and more to become like Jesus and get prepared for eternal life, for life. That's why I think Jesus says, if you want to live, if you want to really live, repent. It's a good word. It's a good notion. It's a good thing. So how do you do it? How do you actually, you know, day by day, repent? I want to talk about that for a minute. Maybe this is very familiar ground with you, but it's good to remember it. Maybe it's new for some of us. Here's how I like to think about it. I think about it in four steps. I tend to think about my whole life in steps. It helps me just keep things simple. So what are the four steps of repenting? Step one, awareness. So you'd have to become aware that you're going the wrong way. You know, the Holy Spirit can make you aware that there's maybe an area of sin in your life or an act of sin. And he may do that just by sort of convicting you or showing you that. Or maybe, you know, your time in the scriptures. I mean, even for me this morning, I was in the Psalms and one verse really kind of stirred like, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to repent of that. It's just part of the journey. And so the Lord makes us aware, and if you're walking with the Lord, he will do that. He's faithful. There are times where it's helpful to go search our hearts, but most of our journey, the Lord will do that work and show us. So you become aware. That's step one. Step two, confess. So in third grade VBS, I memorized 1 John 1:9. Got my free pencil for memorizing that verse. Some of you know that life experience. Some of you are spared from that. But 1 John 1:9 simply says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, or faithful and righteous, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So to confess is really quite simple. I think the most workable definition is to confess is just to agree with God. That was wrong. That act was sin, that attitude was sin. And simply, it's kind of like saying, you know, God, what you say about that is true. I agree with you, that's true. That's what confession is. It's that simple. It can involve feelings of sorrow. And sometimes, you know, that's natural. But maybe there's something we've done wrong and we really do feel bad about it. And that can be good to feel bad about certain things. Sometimes we just may be aware of it. And we don't feel one way or another, but we know it's true. And then we know that when we confess, we're forgiven. That's the third step. That's to receive forgiveness. I say that very intentionally. To receive forgiveness. And I want to camp here for just a moment, because I think this is a thing in my life as a pastor, in my own life, I've seen many folks get very tripped up on. They learn the importance of when the Holy Spirit makes us aware of something that's wrong, to confess it, and then they're not sure if they're forgiven. How do I know if I'm forgiven? And maybe they want to feel forgiven. It's a good, I've felt forgiven. That's a good feeling. I'm not against that. But sometimes maybe they just confess that and they still feel really bad. Are they forgiven or not? Well, the reason I say we have to receive forgiveness rather than, for example, beg for forgiveness, is because forgiveness is based on God's promise. 1 John 1:9, it's a logical statement. If you confess your sins, then you are forgiven. How do you know you're forgiven when you confess your sin? How do you know that? Because you confessed your sin, period. That's it. That's the logic of that text. Not the only place it says that in Scripture. So we need to learn how to name our sin, agree with God, but actually then just receive his forgiveness. That's why, like, in our liturgy, we do this general confession, then there are words of forgiveness. The idea is that you then receive them as a word from the Lord, because it's just echoing the Scriptures, what the Lord says. That promise in 1 John 1:9. But our job is to receive that. So, awareness, confession, receive forgiveness, and then amend our lives. The order is really important here. Then we amend our lives. Then we purpose to live differently. Maybe there's an attitude. And we just say, Lord, today, I just purpose to not live that way. Something I did. Lord, I purpose not to do that. And the order is really important, because we amend in response to grace. We amend in response to forgiveness. We amend in response to what Christ has done. We actually sang about that a few months ago. You've done all this, then I'll pour out my love. It's always a response to Jesus, always. He acts first, always. Repenting is not God saying, get your life together, then I'll love you. Repenting is not God saying, straighten up and fly right, then I'll forgive you. Repenting is coming to God, receiving forgiveness, and then out of that, amending our lives, and even doing that by his power and grace. Now, it's really important to know this as well. If you're like me, sometimes I confess a sin, and I amend, and it lasts about 30 seconds. Then I have to confess, receive forgiveness, and amend again. And then confess and receive forgiveness and amend again. And then, of course, confess and receive forgiveness and amend again. You know the story. Sometimes I have an encounter and it's something just changes. And it's like, I don't really live with that anymore. That's just the mystery of grace. The mystery of the Holy Spirit works differently in each one of us. But I heard this great framing around that that's helped me. It's from my favorite Roman Catholic bishop. His name's Robert Barron. Maybe some of you know about him. He's a YouTuber. Really good. And he has this saying where he says, in the Christian life, there's two things you have to always keep in mind, keep in tension. One is this. God has extreme standards. Perfection. His goal for you is absolute, total, pure, holy perfection. And he will not compromise that. A, he can't compromise that, because then he compromises his own character, his love and his holiness, but also he wants wholeness for you, nothing less. And he will not stop till it's done. So on one hand, he's got just extreme standards. And he won't, grace isn't him going, well, we'll just pretend that rule. You can break that rule, I don't mind. That's not how God does it. He never compromises, yet at the same time, extreme mercy. Just constant extreme mercy. And here's how I think it plays out. It doesn't matter how many times I amend and have to re-amend As long as I'm breathing, I can always do it. God's always there waiting for me. God's always forgiving. God's always welcoming. And he knows, as it says in Psalm 103, that we are but flesh. He knows that. He's more aware of how much you struggle than you'll ever be aware of how much you struggle. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. You may be shocked by your sin, but the Father's not, trust me, never. And he always says, come back. And so we become aware, we confess, we receive forgiveness, and then we amend over and over and over. And it's just, that's what the journey looks like. That's what living with Jesus looks like, repenting. That's why he says, if you want to live, repent. One of my favorite Anglican, kind of famous Anglican theologians, pastors, is this guy named Lancelot Andrews. Is that not a great English name? Lancelot Andrews lived in the early 17th century. It's said that he's a Hebrew scholar, said that he translated Genesis through 2 Samuel in the King James Bible. I don't know if that's true. If it was half of that, what an amazing thing. Also a great preacher, but also a man of deep, deep prayer. And he wrote his own little prayer book. He just designed a set of prayers for every day that he collected and composed and wrote it all by hand. And there's been printed copies of that. You can find it, but the original still exists. And what's fascinating about the original is there's smudged writing from drops of water on every page, from tears. Some of the tears are probably joy, just wonder at God's love. Some of them are probably repentance. Here's this person who lived so faithfully, did so much work for the kingdom, and yet his daily journey was repenting. Because he knew this truth, that if you want to live, repent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.